Hey, folks, welcome back to the Mañana No Mas podcast. I'm still here in my new office, just moved to Kansas, and I have a great new guest to bring to us today. His name is Anil Gupta. I met Anil directly through Adam Weeks and the stuff that they're doing over at Cirrus Influence, and I got to tell you, I'm just thrilled to death to have met him. We had our discovery call, and I knew right away he was a perfect fit for the Mañana No Mas audience and for the messages that, you know, come from this channel. So with that, Anil, I'd like to turn it over to you. Kind of tell the audience, you know, who you are, just briefly what you do, and then we'll start to explore some things.
Sure. Hey, everyone. So as Kurt mentioned that this is Anil, and I'm a CEO and co-founder of MultiDots, which is a web agency. And we work with a lot of different enterprise brands like PepsiCo, Ask.com, Penguin Random House, a lot of different brands there. Apart from MultiDots agency business, I also have two other businesses that we also run. One is called MultiCollab, which is a Google Docs style collaboration plugin for WordPress. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. And then the third brand that I'm also looking after is called Dot Store, where we sell WooCommerce premium plugins for the WooCommerce and e-commerce store. So those are the three commercial brands. Apart from that, I'm also a host of another podcast called Peaceful Growth. And I also have a weekly newsletter called Learn and Grow, where I publish and write about high-performing lifestyle, tips on high-performing lifestyle. So yeah, there's a lot going on, but super excited to be here.
Dude, I am so stoked. So I'm just going to, first thing I want to speak to is kind of like an area that most people would assume is jealousy, but it's really admiration. So, you know, Mañana No Mas got its start in 2008 doing a lot of websites for startups, like people that were, you know, mom and pop shops that make salsa, you know, make a different kind of bread or tortillas or something, because I was doing stuff out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I had a lot of really small companies. And then like you, but I don't know your story yet, I got some bigger and bigger fish in my pond, right? And then one of my fish became Ducati North America, the motorcycle company. And I don't know, I look back and I don't know if it was foolish or if it was smart, but I let them hire me away from myself. I took an internal job at Ducati and I went corporate for a few years with them. And then I went corporate with Suzuki, another motorcycle company, for another handful of years. And then in 2020, I relaunched the agency, right? And so now I'm dealing with small and mid-sized companies and doing some cool projects. And then I hear you come on and go, well, I'm with MultiDots and we work with PepsiCo. And I'm like, holy crap, man. Like that's not a big fish in the pond. That's like, you got rid of that little boat and you got yourself, you know, a ship, and you're on the ocean throwing out lines and bringing in big clients. Can you talk a little bit about that? What that looks like?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole, first thing is that, like, you know, when I started MultiDots in 2009 with my friend and now business partner, Aslam. So at that time, you know, we kind of like were like, oh yeah, we are here to solve problems and we want to help businesses, you know, with the digital presence and stuff like that. So we were thinking very small, you know, at that time, small in the sense we were always telling ourselves like, oh, this is what we should be doing. You know, this is out of our competence and stuff like that. But basically we were focusing a lot on doing a lot of small things. And at some point, I think we realized that in order to stay in this game long term, especially the entrepreneurship, when we talk about it, it's not a short-term game, it's a very long-term game. We all, when we signed up to become an entrepreneur or a startup business, you know, a lot of us has that, the long-term vision that I want to grow this business and brand. So 7 years in of MultiDots, you know, and I had that moment where I need to make some big decisions in order to what kind of customer we want to work with. We're putting a lot of efforts. We're putting a lot of time and energy. So then that's where we started making decisions around that. If we are going to provide the services, you know, and all these brands like PepsiCo and Ask Media and a lot of other brands that we work with, SiriusXM is also one of our clients. One thing I noticed that if we look at the as an agency offering, you know, it's the same software, WordPress, that we are delivering and customizing for them. For small, like a high school blogger or a small medium business or a big enterprise as PepsiCo, they all are using the same core foundation of the WordPress, right?
Yeah.
So that's where we were like, 80% of the foundation is the same. It's the rest 20% is where the performance, security, compliance, and some of those extra bells and whistles that these enterprises needs. And most importantly, support. Like, you know, they that's where, like, you know, they also count on us. So those are the some of the pieces that was also there in the small, medium businesses, but not as intense as this one. So that's where we made a decision that now we're going to focus on the big clients because we got everything that they need, you know, and we made that switch in 2019. And yeah, growth has been great. You know, everyone in my company has been feeling proud about the work they've been doing. So yeah, sometimes you got to make some big decisions.
Yeah. And I love listening to kind of like how it was like, what was an internal decision, right? So it was like, it wasn't like, so many people miss this point. And I think we're going to touch on this a little bit later, especially if we talk about wellness or fitness, right? But there's a point in your development where that gong goes off inside your brain. You're like, why am I working this hard for this? When if I did the same work over here, it would be this big. I once did a project foolishly signed up with a client. And then you know how projects grow, right? The scope creep starts to take over. Well, it wasn't one website. It became a directory of websites and all subdomains. And they ended up with 78 products. And they wanted each product to have its own website and its own blog interface and its own all the stuff. They wanted each product to be independent, but then come together on a single directory that was all clickable through a graph and it was all graphics oriented. It was all based on the astrological signs. So I built this thing, man. I quoted it, and then the scope creep happened, and I thought, well, I'm going to lose my rear end, but at least I'm going to learn something along the way. And so I built the product. My wife was like, when are you going to come to bed? Like, you've been awake for 4 days straight. And I was just like, I got to get it done. I got the whole thing done. And you know what happens when you work with people of limited means. For some reason, they're more critical than people that have more means, right? So you get the whole thing done and they're like, well, I wish it did this, or I wish it did that, or this should look this way. And I'm like, these are the graphics you gave me. Like, this is your stuff.
Yeah.
And but we got the whole thing done. And then I met for the first time, because I'd been an agency for a long time without really meeting other WordPress agency people. Like, I didn't realize it was a whole community, right? And so I'd met a couple of people that worked in WordPress, and they were like, I wouldn't have touched that job for less than $80,000. No. And
yeah,
my mind spun, because I was like, I did not charge anywhere near $80,000. I'm like, I'm in the wrong market, man. I have got to change my thinking. And that's, you have to change your thinking to make these leaps.
And thinking is actually the key here. And another thing I wanted to bring it here is Apple. So if you, let's say Apple Safari browser, right, on a Mac or your iPhone, when you type in something on a search bar, you know, the default search comes Google. Like, you know, Google is the default search for the Safari search bar. Now, if you look at, like, from the efforts or development perspective, like on a search bar, you know, just if somebody types in a text and by default, I want to run a Google search, you know, it should land to the Google search and I want to show the Google search results. So for the developer or for even for the Apple, it will just be few days or few weeks of efforts. If we'll talk about the development effort, right? So imagine that that just one little feature that probably will take less than 1 week of a time, you know, but Google is paying $18.3 billion every year to Apple for just that one little feature. So from the development, and that's how I think a lot of agencies and the developer, as a developer, I used to think, I was like, oh, this feature only takes 2 hours for me to build, you know, how can I charge $80,000 for this feature? It's not what efforts it will take for you to build that feature. It's how much it's worth to your customer, that feature. That's a key that took 7 years for me to learn. And I learned it, I never looked back.
Yeah, you're not, you know, you always hear these people that are experts in business go, well, stop selling time for dollars. Selling time for dollars. And then they say, you know, sell the solution to the pain point. Like, figure out what that pain point is, what its value is, and then sell the solution to that pain point. And it doesn't matter if it takes you a half hour or if it takes you 100 hours.
Exactly.
You know, it's the value is what, how you affect that pain point for that consumer.
Yeah. And it's in the same line, let's say PepsiCo, you know, what the first question I think that you asked about, like, what's the difference between working with the enterprise client, you know, and like, you know, what changes? In a way, like, we are still doing the same code, you know, the PepsiCo, though it's a big brand, you know, but if you look at their basic needs are still the same. So it's not the efforts, your efforts are changing. It's the impact of that effort is changing. And that mindset is something that, it's very important in order to work with enterprise clients and also, finding the right, the value for your efforts.
Nice. Nice. Dude, I appreciate your feedback on that. I think there's a lot of listeners that I run into. And it's what's so weird about podcasting is I really don't know who my listeners are until every now and then I run into one and then I'm like, okay. And I start to figure out who my listeners are. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of messaging is really going to resonate with them, that it's like, you might already be doing the work. You might not have the success you're looking for yet, but it is part of the long game. You know, me and Chris Badgett just talked this morning about the long game, right? I know you know Chris, so it's like we were just talking about this. Like, I have a project in the power sports market that's 4 years old, and it's struggling, right? Like, I'm trying to get traction, trying to get moving, trying to get that momentum. But I work with another organization in the marine world with boats, and their product is going great. And I'm like, well, how come mine is struggling and theirs is going so good? And then when I actually talked to someone in the program, they were like, well, we've been doing this for 18 years. Mm. Like, okay. Yeah. You know, it is a long game. Like, when you sign up for it, you have to know that you're making a commitment to stick with something for a little bit of time. Right.
Yeah.
If we were to switch gears and talk about product, right? So I look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I look at it like multi-dots to me. That to me is like, you are optimizing service. Like, you're providing a service. But then your multi-collab is more like product development, right? That's where you're offering a product. Talk to me about multi-collab and how you guys came up with that and what it does.
Yeah. So multi-collab, what it does. So it's a Google Docs style collaboration plugin for WordPress. Now, if you look into the WordPress roadmap, phase 3 is where we are expecting collaboration inside WordPress. But if you look at all other content creation app like Canva or Sigma, like, you know, and even the Google Doc, even the some of the WordPress competitor like Wix, you know, they all have this collaboration. And collaboration is like inline commenting. So multiple team, when they are creating the content, they can collaborate with different teams, different locations, different time zones. So sync, async, collaborative publishing. So all the default app, like, you know, all the different apps that we use day-to-day basis has this collaboration as a default. Unfortunately, WordPress has been missing this feature of where multiple content creators can come together and create a content collaboratively. So we saw this need 3 years ago. So one of our enterprise client, they had 400 author. So their team of content contributors, 300 to 400. And they run one of the massive conference every year where 10,000, 20,000 people actually come to that conference. And then they right around the conference, they will also publish a lot of digital white papers and stuff like that. So, and their like whole platform, like, you know, they were using Microsoft Word and Google Doc to write those white papers and publish it and then sell it on this conference. So they were switching to WordPress. They were looking for like using the WordPress as a platform to create this content. So then they can sell the digital like PDF version of the content, as well as somebody can go to the WordPress, their website, and can read the content online. It's easy to update because PDF documents, like it's very, once you deliver, it's very hard to make them updates and stuff like that. So kind of like that's where they had this need. So, you know, like I think a lot of different agency who move to product probably will have the similar, I think, storyline where one of their client, they ask them to solve a problem. They solve the problem and they realize like, oh, this is not the only one client who needs this. There are like a lot of other people who are also can be benefited from the same solution. And I think that's what happened. So we built the solution for them. We told them that, hey, we're not going to charge you for this, you know, because this is something that we want to like to keep the IP and the ownership, because we see that like this is not just you, but a lot of publishers are also kind of like asking for this solution. They were fine. They were just scared. I was like, we just want a tool, you know, we don't care. And if you're not going to charge it, sweet, you know, that's even perfect. So we built the tool for them and they successfully used that. And so that was kind of a use case. And from there, we spin that plugin into a full-fledged product, and it's multi-collab today.
Sweet. So I've never had the chance to use that product. Is that like, is it still using like the Gutenberg editing window, or is it a separate window altogether?
So yes. So at the current version of the plugin is still works in inside the Gutenberg. So the way we have designed it, like when you are creating the content, like post or page, inside WordPress using Gutenberg, then you will see all these controls, inline commenting, suggestions, real-time editing with the Gutenberg. In our future roadmap, you know, we are planning to kind of like eventually make it compatible for Elementor and other page builder. But our goal is basically, we want everyone to stay inside the WordPress, because that's kind of like, if you know, like Gutenberg has a lot of these great blocks, and a lot of these enterprises, they spend tons of money to creating custom themes for their business, templates, patterns, blocks, you know, the widgets and plugins. But unfortunately, you know, the whole content creation happens outside the WordPress, like Google Doc or Microsoft Word or something somewhere else. And then they just copying and pasting the content in the WordPress for publishing. And so that's kind of like, you know, where you are not able to leverage all those core benefits of the WordPress, is like blocks and design interface and plugins and all that, that you can actually, you should be leveraging or you can leverage. But unfortunately, because 80% of the content creation is happening outside the WordPress, so they're not able to do it. And that's kind of like our goal is with the multi-collab as well, that if there is all, and one big reason we found was collaboration was the one thing that was missing in the WordPress. And that was the one reason why they had to go and do it outside WordPress. So with multi-collab, like, you know, you don't have to leave WordPress. You start your content journey, like draft, and then edit, collaborate, and publish. The entire publishing process stays within the WordPress.
I absolutely love that, the more you describe it, Anil. And here's why. A lot of people don't recognize this. Like, I was not an Elementor person for a long time. I put it off and put it off and put it off. And then finally, I was like, I have to do it. So, you know, through force, I learned how to use Elementor and I got pretty good at it. But the thing that's always frustrated me is, like, when it comes time to add the text, to write something as a writer, right? To your point, I don't want to write in this little square that's off on the left side of my screen. I want to be able to write where I'm going to see it. And then so you end up with this disconnect between your text and your layout. And even though Gutenberg still isn't there with a what you see is what you get experience, they do have that kind of full page, you know, open editing area where you can go in and write as a writer. And so like when I make a guest post for another company, right? I just wrote one for Astra and Spectra. So yeah. With Lifter, right? So this is a good example. So we write this thing, but to your point, I ended up writing it in Word and then uploading it to Google Docs so that people can see it in Google Docs and make comments and changes or whatever, right? And then, yeah. And then either accept or deny those changes and then do what? Like I send it to them as this guest post, but I have no idea how they're going to format it, what the H1s or H2s are going to look like, what the spacing is going to look like, where the pictures are going to go, because I sent screenshots. And so it's like, so how are they going to format that? Whereas if we all worked in a common, you know, WordPress window, mm-hmm. we could format it, we could put it in draft, we could comment on it, we could see it as it's designed and then go, okay, that's what I was looking for, right? And then publish it. And so, and I could see how that could just save a ton of time. I don't know. I'm going to speak out of my own preferences. I'm just going to say it out loud. I hate working in Google Docs. I just hate it. I just hate it, man. Hey, check this link. Okay, the link doesn't work. Can I have approval to see it, please? You know, yeah. Just back and forth.
And also, there is a reason why Google Doc is not a right app to create a content or publish a content, because it's not designed for the blog publishing. Google Docs is like, you know, design primary goal is for more like internal documents and stuff like that. But when we talk about publishing, you know, there is the SEO, there are like a bunch of different integration that happens in your content. Like, you know, your title should be like certain limit, you know, whatever the design guidelines that you have for your user experience, you know, you need to stay within that. So there are like a lot of those little things. So that's I always tell, you know, even my team as well, I was like, look, Google Doc is not a blog publishing tool. WordPress yeah. is, you know, so that's where yeah. the content creation should happen, not in a Google Doc. So the Google Doc is like an internal document, like something that I want to just keep it to myself or like in small people of team. That's where I use Google Doc to, you know, just keep some of those content there.
I think Google Docs is a great place to share the outline, right? Yeah. But the expanded content, pardon me, the expanded content should be written in a format that's going to be the final product, I think.
That's right.
So that's cool. And we agree on it. So that's even better. It gives the show a sense of cohesiveness. So I know that you mentioned the newsletter and I know that you mentioned other things, but people, but at this point of listening to the show, people are probably like, all right, especially if they're watching the video instead of the audio, they're looking at you and they're going, this guy seems awfully young to be pulling all this crud off, right? You got a lot of arrows in the quiver. You got a lot of toes in the pond. I mean, whatever ways to look at that. And you and I talked, and I know that you're passionate about wellness and fitness and that kind of stuff. Because I want to honor your time and I want to make sure we cover the topics. How do you stay active on so many different fronts and not lose your mind doing it?
So I'll answer that. But before that, let me tell you a little story. So in 2014, I started Multidots in 2009, like my first business I started when I was 23. And for the first from 5 years, 2009, 2014, you know, that 5 years, I believed that I'm a Superman and I have that all this energy and the power and like my body is made out of steel, you know, so I was working for 14, 16 hours a day, never did any exercise, never cared about what should I eat, whatever, you know, that came there, you know, in my mind that I would just eat.
Yeah. But a Twinkie and a monster.
Yeah. But like for the first year, honestly, I was just focusing on working. And I had that, like when you are young, especially, you know, and especially in a moment where everything happened good in your life, you know, so I was basically just focusing on that. And then in 2014, when I was riding a motorcycle on my way to home in a street in India where I grew up, I collapsed on the side of the road and I woke up in the hospital in the morning. And I remember very vaguely, but when I was in a hospital bed, the doctor came in and I was kind of like, I was like, oh shit, you know, what happened? Like, do I have a cancer? Am I going to die? Because he had like a really serious look in his face.
Yeah.
And he came in and he's like, I was like, doctor, what's going on? What happened? You know, it's like, and he was like, well, you're fine. And I was like, when somebody says you're fine, you know, that's where you feel like, no, you know, there is something that he's trying to sugarcoat. It's like, no, tell me the truth. You know, am I going to die? Do I have a cancer? Like, do I have a tumor? Like, you know, just tell me. And I watched a lot of Bollywood movies, you know, so yeah, like the most dramatic action comes into my mind the first. And then he told me at that moment, he was like, young man, looks like what you have, you don't have any issues, like we don't, like, yeah, but what we find is you are stressed, you know, so there was a stress, and that stress, because of that stress, you know, your body collapsed. What you need is a rest. And I freaked out a little bit more. That I was like, wow, you know, it's like, if there is any big disease, then I would understand, like, okay, you know what, how it happens. I was like, how a stress can actually do this to you and your body. So that was a wake-up call. And since then, I started focusing, telling myself, like, it has been just 5 years of my business. I really enjoy doing this. I'm super passionate about it. It's helping me grow. It's helping me making these great connections. And I was like, I'm loving it. And I was like, I want to do it for a long time. I just don't want to do it for 5 years and collapsed, you know. And then I was like, so that was my, I want to do it for not just 5 years, 50 years, you know, but it just has been 5 years. And look at me, that, like, you know, what it brought to me. So yeah, that was, I think, a wake up call. And I started questioning that how I can continue on this game and how I can take care of my mind and body so this never happened again in the future. So from that moment, I started to make changes. You know, I started to do workouts. I started to change my food habits and stuff like that. And all of that worked for a while, you know, because I would like this passion and the mission. So worked for 3 months, 6 months. And 1 year later, I went back to the square one, you know, started again working for 14, 16 hours and all that. So now, so then in 2012, no, not 2012, 2020, you know, so 6 years later from that incident, I was still on and off between, like, you know, sometimes I would get this energy and motivation to take care of my body and being like more health conscious and health focused. But then work, life, other priorities will always take over, and then I'll go back to my old habits. Then in 2020, I read this book called 5 AM Club by Robin Sharma. And when I read that book was all about, like, how you can actually, importance of daily habits over a long-term goals. So it's like, instead of a shiny, big goals, like, just build tiny habits.
Yeah.
You know, tiny habits are most, the way I call it is a growth routine. So instead of creating big goals, I started focusing on growth routine, something that I can consistently maintain, you know. So that's where I learned a lot of different tools from that book, and I started to implement that. And my main focus was I want to build a routine. I want to build a great routine that I can consistently do it every day without missing. And that routine is what actually helped me and is helping me for last 4-5 years to perform and give my best in all these different enterprises, plus my individual passions that I'm passionate about. And if you want, we can talk more about some of the key elements of my growth routine, but the key is the growth routine. That is what I wanted to share.
Dude, so many of us have the same entrepreneur's journey where the entrepreneur bug took over, and we lost our minds. We just went nuts and tried to produce or make something, you know, against all natural odds, right? So, you know, you fell off a motorcycle. Thank goodness I tend not to fall off of my motorcycles. That's kind of a joke for people that know me. I raced motorcycles for 20 years, so I've had a few spectacular get-offs. But like, I did an interview with David Valentine, another, you know, high up there executive, you know, he has seven or eight different companies that are all seven figures or more. But he had the same experience when he first started out in business. He got so focused on business, he ended up having like panic attacks and ending up at a doctor's office where the doctor says, "You're the most stressed out person in their 20s I've ever seen. You need to slow down. If you don't slow down, you're going to die." You know, and now he lives in the woods in Washington State, you know, with his family, and he runs these companies at distance and is just, you know, really a great example of application, right? Of wellness, of something that creates contentment and then still being able to perform. I had a similar journey. I gained a ton of weight and battled. I don't want to call it depression. It wasn't depression. It was, I was traveling on the corporate credit card, airplane, hotel, rental car, you know, that lifestyle, just swiping that corporate card and eating steaks and drinking wine. And one day I went to get on the airplane and I had the middle seat. And I was like, I don't really fit too well in the middle seat. And then I was like, wait a minute, if I can't get on an airplane and be comfortable for a 4-hour flight, I'm way too fat. I got to change this. You know, so my wife and I, we joined a fat farm, you know, in California. We lost a ton of weight. And I thought, well, I still like red meat, wine, and beer. So now what am I going to do? You know? And so that's when I broke my bicycle out of the garage. I started pedaling, and then I started riding, you know, 75 miles a week. And then I started doing 100 mile rides like once a month, you know, with different organizations. And as long as there was an event to do every month, I found I had that inspiration to keep the fitness up to compete in that event. So I was doing warrior dashes, Spartan races, century rides, all that. And then COVID broke out and they canceled all the events. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I noticed, you know, my riding went down, my weight started going up. And then I was like, well, now I got to get into the gym, you know, and thank goodness Planet Fitness was open and we were able to go and work out, me and my son. But it's always a battle, you know, trying to, and I always say this, didn't always say it, but now in my later life, I say, you can only succeed fiscally as well as your body permits you physically, right? Like, I think my physical fitness is directly related to my fiscal fitness. If I allow my weight to get out of control and I huff and puff going up a flight of stairs, well, I can't perform well doing a public talk somewhere.
Yeah.
Or I can't, you know, I can't stay up and code a new website till midnight. Right. Not when I'm falling asleep on the keyboard at 9 o'clock. So I think we all need a certain amount of physical fitness to be able to perform fiscally. And sure, there's those one-off examples where that'll prove me wrong. But I think for the most part, that's really, really true. So for me, my daily walk starts with journaling. Like, I do a journal and I do a handwritten planner. I still have, you know, my electronic calendar still schedules things. But I go through the work every day of writing down what my appointments are for the day, getting that mental space of what my day looks like. And then I start my journal in the morning with what I'm grateful for and what I want to accomplish in the day. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I kind of recap it and go, okay, well, this is what really happened.
Yeah.
You know, this is a win. This is a loss. And then I kind of flush that out of my mind so I get a good night's sleep, if that makes sense. What are your secrets? You're like a yoga person, aren't you?
Yeah. So my actually morning routine is I wake up around 5:15 in the morning. I would walk my dog outside and listen to a podcast or an audiobook on my walk. And then I would come back and then I would read for 30 minutes to 40. So I read and 3 days I write, you know. So this is like my 4 days I read and 3 days I write on a week. So in the morning, 45 minutes, like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is my writing day. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is my reading day. So that's like 45 minutes of my reading. 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8, I call it my personal growth hour. And that's where I do 20 push-ups. So everything that I've designed it just based on my previous experience. I don't want to do anything crazy that my mind tells me like, oh, that's too complex or that's too much. And I should not be doing it. So yeah. Keep it like simple, you know, following the Atomic Habits, James Clear's advice that keep the thing simple enough so that your brain doesn't trick you. So I'll do 20 push-ups and then I have ab roller. So I'll do 10 ab roller, 20 minutes of yoga, and then I'll do 30 minutes of meditation. So that all takes 45 to 50 minutes. And then from 8 o'clock, that's where I'll start my day. I will work and all that. And then around noontime, between 1 to 2, I'll take a 20 minute nap, power nap. So that is something that also is one of the big hack, I would say, that because, you know, every time in the morning when we wake up with this, let's say 10 credit, you know, so your brain is charged for, let's say 100%, you know, and by the time you do all those different calls and meetings and emails and all that, and by the noon time, your brain's battery is like less than 10% or sometimes like less than, you know, 5%.
Yeah.
So if you don't do something about recharging it back to add like a little bit more power, then you will be less focused, tired, you know, will make more poor decisions, you know. And that's what's another thing is like when you are brain fatigued, that's where we make all the poor choices and decisions. So yeah, I've integrated this power nap, a 15-20 minutes power nap. I'll take between 1 to 2. And after that, yeah, I'll have the another extra 30-40% battery and I'll go until 4. So the 4 o'clock is where I'll finish all my work. From 4 to 5, I have sometimes I'll go on a long walk or do a meditation or a reading. Or like doing some of those things that just gives me a joy or something that's more like just switch between the work and the life. And yeah, so that's kind of like my routine is I do journaling when I go to bed. So that's my time. Like when I go to bed, I would think about like, what are those big wins for today? What are the big highlights of the day? I'll write it down into my journal about some of those highlights or anything that profound experience that I had for that day. Yeah, so that's kind of like how is my routine, and it's the same for every day, even for the weekend. I mean, yeah, weekend is not the work, but everything else remains same.
And so for the people that are listening that would hear you say that, some people would hear that and go, oh, that sounds so restrictive. That sounds so demanding. But I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that once you started doing it, once you started applying yourself to that schedule, you probably found it a lot more freeing, like in its experience, right?
Very much, yeah. And you said it right, that routine, a lot of people have this pre-notion that like having like this routine and you following everything by an hour and minute and the calendar, that looks like, you know, that you are imprisoned by your routine. But in a way, actually, you know, that it gives you actually more freedom because, let's say, whenever somebody asks you a question, right, whether it's a social setting or it's like, hey, you know, what is the most important thing in your life? And we say, oh, health. Or sometimes we say, oh, family. Or sometimes we say, you know, like friends, like all those things that we usually say. You know, if you see, like, you know, the standard answer would be like, yeah, my health is most important thing in my life. Like my family is most important thing. My happiness is, my peace is love is more important, right? Freedom is more important. So we kind of basically tell ourselves that these are all the values that are important to us. But if you look into your calendar, you know, that calendar actually tells you your true priority. And that is where I say that like having this routine actually allows me to focus on my priorities. So if health is my priority, I'm already doing that before I start my work, you know, with this routine. If learning is one of my goals, like, you know, then I'm already starting with reading that, you know, and doing this allows me to design. And again, you are designing when you are doing something which is out of your will, you know, if somebody else is putting a routine on you, then I can understand then it's not a freedom. You know, it might be an imprisonment. but you are the in charge of your routine. So yeah, you design. Nobody is saying that you need to wake up at 5 o'clock, you know. Yeah. Tell yourself that I want to wake up at 7 o'clock. That's totally fine. But as long as you're making a commitment to yourself, you know, that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. That is it. Everything that you just said is so valuable. I hope people are reading between the lines. It's when we lived in Southern California, and I'm going to be vulnerable and transparent here. Near the end of us living in, the reason I'm trending the hashtag escaping California is near the end, we were going backwards financially. And it seemed like no matter how hard I worked or how many hours I put in as an agency owner, I wasn't able to get the work, build the work, and do the work quick enough to keep up with the increasing expenses as a small agency that was trying to focus on growth and everything that goes with it, right? So it's like you have an image as a business person of what your goals are and how you want to grow, but you're struggling just to maintain, let alone grow. So you get frustrated, and then you put in more time, and you get to where, you know, you're falling off a motorcycle. We've only been in Kansas for 2 months, Anil, and you can tell I haven't finished the lighting in the studio yet, right? Yeah. So we've only been here for a couple of months, but dude, we lowered our overhead by like 65%, and now that whole routine that you just described, I don't have an identical routine, but it's very similar. And now if we want to take off and go camping with the Boy Scouts for a weekend, we can do that. You know, all those moments where you need to unplug and recharge, those moments can now happen. And I don't think, for the most part, I don't think people realize how valuable those moments really get over time. Yeah, because we talked about the long game earlier, and it is all part of the long game. You have to be healthy. You have to be dedicated. You have to be focused. And so much of it has to happen over a time span that I think isn't really well estimated at the beginning. Yeah,
it's very true. And I think one thing I would add into that is also, as an entrepreneur, we are athletes, you know. So like, if you look at the athletes, they practice, you know, for their physical fitness and all that before they perform their final game. They practice for hours and hours, you know, to keep their body in shape. I would say, like, as an entrepreneur, you know, we are an athlete, but we also not only the physical but mental, because that's where, you know, like, are real. Like, some of us are like, oh, you know, I'm not going to run, or I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not my business is my profession is. So it's okay if I don't exercise. And I was like, well, you know, you are taking a lot of important decisions. You're mentally, you know, you are doing this really heavy lifting every day, every hour. And what you mentioned, like, you know, if you're physically you're not fit, you know, it will affect your mind as well. And the second thing is, sometimes like it eventually will get good at physical fitness, but then we also forget about the mental fitness, that like the mental fitness is equally important. And I think that is where the rest and making sure that we are having a good sleep, nap, meditation, a lot of those different things, because that was my mistake. I focused a lot on the physical fitness. I realized that it was keeping my physical, but mentally I was still, you know, like didn't know that how to cope up with all these like difficult life situations and the stress. So that is where meditation, nap, you know, and just disconnecting, what you meant, walk in the nature, those kind of things are very helpful.
Yeah, I love being outside. For me, the outside's like the thing. There's just a switch, you know, that nature just seems to reset. Dude, I think we could probably go on for hours and do this, but let's be respectful here. Let's say someone's listening to this, and maybe it's Wells Fargo and they want to come to Multidots, or being you get these big clients. How can they best reach you? How would you prefer people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so Multidots is our agency business, so it's on multidots.com. So any WordPress migrations or customization, I think that's the best place to kind of like get in touch with us. Apart from like WordPress development, you know, if anyone wants to just try the Multicollab as a collaboration solution, if you already have a WordPress website, or if you are WordPress professional developers or help other clients to build on WordPress website, I would highly recommend to just check out Multicollab and see what it does, and it might actually be a great way to serve your customers. And in the future, as phase three is coming up, you know, so a lot of people will be asking like, hey, what is this collaboration? You know, how I can get a benefit of that. So multicollab.com is where you can learn more about Multicollab. I have a weekly newsletter. I usually, like everything that I do on my podcast, on my business and my personal life, all those habits and hacks and tools and techniques that I kind of like experiment with, I share all of them there. So I think that's one place where you can basically find all the different tools and methods that I have built in last 10 years, you know, since that experience falling off from motorcycle. So that's, you can actually learn from my blog, which is anilg.substack.com. I'm also, I regularly write on Twitter and LinkedIn as well. So that's kind of like another way, place where I continuously share everything I'm experimenting with.
Excellent. Excellent. And for people that need it, there'll be notes in the show notes. So you can click on any of those links down there. Anil, this has just been a blast. I'm really glad that we connected through Adam, and you know, the discovery call was great, but I've really enjoyed this extended time on the podcast, man.
Me too. Yeah. It was really, some of the questions that you asked, actually, that it bring me back to my memory. And that's something that I tell myself, that like, you know, all the great experiences and knowledge is just one good question away. So this, when somebody asks you the right question, that's where you open the door of great experiences and knowledge. So thanks for bringing in all those questions, and that actually helped me relive some of the moments as well.
Nice. Well, folks, this has been Anil Gupta. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Mañana No Más, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.